The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Thursday, April 8th. We got a big show for you. We're talking Paul Pierce, Hubert Davis, LaMelo, Invincible, Mr. Hubert. We're going to do a blow your mind, and we're going to crown our first Booger Boy of the Week.
Big Booger Boy vibes.
As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friend, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, guys?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody.
And I'm Mike, a.k.a. Gardy B. And let's get into it. Paul Pierce got fired.
Okay. I just want to ask a question. Whomst amongst us hasn't enjoyed a titty and boo and booty swinging hither and thither, and we hoops amongst us wouldn't want to take
amongst us.
Hoops. I feel like the man was just enjoying himself. Everybody was having fun. Okay, he was getting a haircut. You know what I mean? Like, dog, it's unnecessary. The reaction. I know it's Disney, but the reaction is unnecessary to me.
So I assume everyone's seen this, but Paul Pierce was on his IG Live getting his haircut. I think we talked about this on the last show. Had some strippers over, some OUI apostrophe D weed in the air.
Legally?
legally. And then ESPN fired him. I think, did they try and say it was because they were violating COVID protocols? I think that might have been out. I don't know. But Paul Pierce didn't seem too worried about it. He posted himself on his stories, smiling and everything. It kind of feels like maybe they were getting ready to part ways anyway, and this just happened to be it. I don't know. What do you think, Tyler?
I definitely think that's the case. Paul Pierce looked like a man who who either he knew his time was up or he didn't give a shit about making his time be up in that situation, right? Like, you know, you don't fucking go to Instagram Live with fucking strippers and weed if you're a fucking ESPN employee who's serious about keeping your job. So I definitely think that was probably Paul Pierce playing chess instead of checkers, as they say.
He wanted to go out in the bet with a bang, you know what I mean? He was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For his 315 IG Live viewers.
Right? Like 315 viewers, bro. Like, we can trace the person who brought that shit to Twitter and ruined ruined or played into Paul Pierce's plan, however you want to say it. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Honestly, 315 isn't bad, though. I'll see popping-ass people with, like, 73 people on their shit. And I'm like, dog, you got 80,000
Paul Pierce
followers.
Is the greatest Celtic since Bird, though. Like, 300, though, for that. Like, bruh.
I don't know. Best wishes to Paul Pierce. You know, I'm sure I saw he already had a job offer to live commentate for a porn site or something. So to host a basketball show for a porn.
What is okay, a basketball show. Okay. I was like, what is
I think is I didn't look too deeply into the job offers that Paul Pierce is fielding from porn companies.
Oh Lord.
Goddamn.
Speaking of,
that's even too far for Jenkins and Jones to go. We can't even go that far. Right. You know, we'll steer clear of that. You know what I mean?
We got enough other shit going
right,
on.
Right, right.
ESPN released their list of the best 25 under 25 in a very obvious troll job. They had Luka at number one, Zion at number two, LaMelo Ball at number three, Donovan Mitchell 4, Jason Tatum 5, and De'Aaron Fox at 6. Congrats to them on the troll. It appears that it worked. We're talking about it. So,
I will say this. On basketball alone, Melo is in top 5. But you add a little bit of Tiana Trump in there. You know what I mean? Standing on the hard work of Tiana Trump. You know what I mean? The man is at least 3. I'm gonna say that, you know what I mean? And I want to say this, people were talking shit up, good for Melo. Get all the thought out while you young, bro. Part of the dream, that's part of the dream. You know, you want to be in the NBA, you also want a Tiana Trump too. You want to have these experiences. Good for Melo, you know what I mean? Run that vagina. Run it up.
A friend of mine who follows Tiana Trump on Instagram mentioned to me that in her story, she was at the Hornets game, and it did occur to me that maybe that's why she was at the Hornets game. Then I wake up the next day and see LaMelo linked to Tiana Trump. So, you know, you said it, John. I mean, good. Like, you're 19 years old in the NBA, bro. Like, that's what you've been thinking about, dog. He said it. He's not worried about playing against LeBron James. He's not worried about that.
Yeah, but I feel like ESPN caught everybody, you know, with the loaded meaning of potential, right? Because, you know, you can put LaMelo up there because, you know, he's got so much more work to do. Like, we've seen such great flashes from him. But then you put a guy like Devin Booker down on the list because he won't get much better than he is right now, right? Like, Book is like a 25-point-per-game guy flirting with 50-49. You know what I mean? Like, he won't cap out much higher than he is now. So that's kind of how they get you with the trolling, because, you know, kind of hoping that people just, you know, get reactionary about how is LaMelo over Book? And that's exactly why.
I mean, even Jaylen Brown, who's having an incredible year. He's been solid the last 2 years. He's only 24. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like, the dude's up. At one point, he was close to 50-40-90. I think he's dipped down to like 38 three-point shooting, which is not bad. But like, dog, I mean, come on, man. Like, they know exactly what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. They put LaMelo on the graphic for the list. But I also agree with – I do also agree with what Tyler's saying. I mean, it says it's based off future potential. You could make an argument to me that LaMelo ends up with a top five career among those guys. That wouldn't be – I wouldn't be particularly surprised by that. You can make that argument to me.
Oh, for
sure. He's not one of the top five right now, mm-hmm. but based off future potential.
Is that what the purpose is for?
The fine print. That's how they get you.
The fine print based off future potential. The NBA's best 2525. Best off. You know what I'm saying? Like, they whisper the other part. Okay. I'm not mad at that.
The headline 72 point font. The you know, right. Fine print size 12.
That's size Arial. 3. That's size 3.
2.5.
72 font, you know what I'm saying? Bold, and you know what I'm saying? They got the, yeah, that's 3 font.
Hold the kerning in.
Right.
Shrink it down.
Right. That's their release valve. But we set off potential, guys. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't see it right here in the fine print. They got me. They got me with the shit. But anyway.
Goddamn, sports outlets resorting to insurance fraud paperwork. Like, imagine what the fuck is happening with us, bro. Goddamn, super swap journalism, bro. What the fuck?
That's what happens when everybody's hurt.
Yeah,
right, bro. Right.
Everyone's got to run some kind of scare. Because you said it before we started talking for the show, Tyler. Like, this is a July.
Yeah, that's a baseball season ass post, dog. What the fuck?
That's not supposed to be an NBA, you know, home stretch just after right. the NCAA tournament. Like, there's sports on right now, bro.
They dropped that motherfucker in the midst of playoff seeding battles, right? Like that's the best story they could come up with. God damn.
But that is the best story they could come up with. This shit's been boring lately, bro. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's hurt, bro. You know what I mean? Like, Brian, you know what I'm saying? Harden's out. You know what I mean? Like, Embiid just came back. You know what I mean? Like, Steph has been like, he has the tailbone injury.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Where like he's grimacing. He had a great game last night, though. He looked great. You know what I mean? Against the Bucks. Jesus Christ. I want to ask y'all a question about Steph real quick, then we can move on or whatever. Do y'all think Steph should still be playing? I mean, they're playing for 10th. He had 42 points to win by 1 point to stay in 10th place. That's a
plush. They got blessed by 50 fucking three the other
night. I guess the Raptors without Steph, they're fucking horrible without. They're impossibly bad without Steph.
I think he should be playing, bro. I mean, I think if you're healthy, you should be playing. He's got career records he's thinking about.
Okay,
right?
Okay. I get it. But I mean, like, you know, he's grimacing while playing. We're seeing that he's in pain. You know what I mean? And, you know, you're already struggling.
I mean, we can't forget that, you know, this is, you know, that we've got the playing now. Like, right, if he gets that ninth seed, and if he fucking goes stupid in that game, like, he's fucking immortalized even more. You know what I mean? Like, Warriors Nation will love him even more for that.
He goes stupid, then they get their ass whooped in the first round, dog. You know what I mean?
Of course, that's how it would play out. But if Steph can take this team to the playoffs, like, that's a huge fucking notch in his belt as far as, you know, legacy building.
Yeah, I mean, a team that lost by 50 to the Raptors. You know what I'm saying? That is, yeah, I agree.
There's always that one crowd of NBA fans who thinks that the MVP should go to the guy whose team sucked the most ass while they were injured. You know what I mean? It's like, this just proves how valuable Steph really is.
I was listening to a pod and somebody just said that. If we're going off the letter, you know, we're going off, you know, like, what the MVP really is. MVP, the letter of the law. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I just heard a podcast. It's so funny you said that, like, 5 minutes before we jumped on.
Yeah, I know y'all seen that crazy stat that says some shit like the Warriors with Steph are like the 13th best offensive team in the league. And without them, they're like the fifth worst offensive team in the league all time. Have y'all seen that stat?
But with them, that's they're crazy. Scoring like, with him, they score on average, like this year. They're scoring on average on par with other average teams. He's not, so it's not, I mean, it's a big difference, obviously. But I get what you're saying, though.
They score 77 points against the Raptors without him. Like,
what the fuck is that?
A struggling Raptors team, too. Like, this ain't the Raptors that, you know, we're used to seeing over the last few years. But yeah, they're bad.
The Raptors team turned around and got drubbed by the fucking Lakers without any of the Lakers.
What do you think about that OG joint? Like him and Schroeder. How do y'all feel about that? You see the little dust up that everybody was over fucking exaggerating? I just love that OG like picked him up in the night. Like he sunned him in the nicest way possible. It's like he accidentally made shit real ugly.
Oh, yeah. He's going to make shit real ugly for Schroeder, but he wants to let him know that. I could have made it ugly for you, but you know, I'm giving you some greats right now. Yeah.
Bro, like he could have the way he picked him up, the man could have slung him probably a good 6 to 8 feet. You know?
He was sideways. He could have discus thrown that motherfucker.
He could have hung the hell out that man, you know what I mean? And then Schroeder had to jump up and act mad. But when a man pick you up off your feet, you know. You really don't.
By your waist at that.
That's Samoan
man shit. Horizontal to the ground by his waist.
Right.
you gotta at least act like you want to fight after that, even if you don't want to, bro.
And then ever so like gently laid him down, like controlled his weight. So like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. Like, dog, it's just he deadlifted the man on some like chill shit. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah, like I thought that was so funny how kindly he sunned the hell out of Schroeder, but they got the W.
Tyler's right though. If someone puts you, if someone basically turns your body into a carnival ride,
you have to.
You know, like you have to stand up like you're gonna hit.
He had to, but like you know, like I get why he did it. It's just it was just funny. It wasn't like it's got spicy over here with the Lakers and the Raptors. It was just like something funny really happened.
I get all
of it in both sides. Nobody was wrong.
And you had a motherfucker who was dedicated to scarves do that to you. Like OG's whole shit is he is a scarf man. That motherfucker loves hand-knitted scarves and that he almost ended your whole fucking world right quick, but then let you know he was, you know, extending grace to your ass.
A man that's that confident in scarves has to be a very strong man, though. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I can whoop the brakes off your ass. I can wear a scarf. I can do whatever the hell I want. I'm Bam Bam out here. You know what I mean? Come try your boy.
He probably would have slingshot that motherfucker if he had like a scarf around his neck that he could have just whipped off. Like, he'd have sent that motherfucker to the moon, dog.
Oh, good God, man, that shit was funny, bro.
You might have to buy your whole fro black, bro. That blonde streak. Hey, right. OG might have took that blonde streak from you, dog.
Hey, like, you lost the right to wear blonde, bro. We need you all black.
We need you.
It's all business
up.
Now.
We need you out here looking for revenge, dog. All black up, ready to pull some kick nose, bro.
You can't be up here thrown in the air with a blonde streak, dog.
I'm gonna flip that. He might need to go all blonde. He might need to go all
demolition,
blonde.
Man. Shit. He might need to let motherfuckers know. You know, this some I'm on some Wesley Snipes 92 shit right now.
Right.
You just tried.
All right, nigga. Nerd martial arts, all of that, bro. You need some self-defense lessons, dog. That dude had you off your feet, bro. Off your feet and arms. You were sideways by another man. How you let another man?
Horizontal. Motherfucker turned you into a sunset, bro. You were horizontal, dog. You were horizontal with that one streak of blonde sunlight.
He turned you into a horizon, dog. Bro, shave it off. You gotta just start over. No,
you can't even dye that shit black. Just plug. We gotta see that plug, bro. We gotta know you are repenting for your sins right now.
Right? Shave the plug. Just shave the plug.
Oh, he said he printed them out in landscape orientation, bro. What the fuck?
Start doing military precious with a girl. People do that to their children at barbecues. Shorter said, "Wee!" He had that man like this. Oh shit! That man was on a roller coaster ride. Motherfuckers, you owe that man $20. You gotta pay him Six Flag price for that shit.
Yo, you either owe $18 or like 32 tickets, bro. You gotta pay.
Right. Did that come with a fucking turkey leg, my nigga? Did you get a turkey leg while you was there, Schroeder?
A funnel cake?
Nigga got a funnel cake. Oh shit.
God damn.
Oh shit. And then said, and then jumped up like, hold up, nigga. Do it again, OG. Do it again.
Nah, that only needed to happen to you once in your life, bro. Nothing will ever be the same for you, dog.
Never do that again, bro.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Oh, that's why he was so mad, because he liked it. He had fun, dog. I would have had a blast, dog. That looked fun as hell. That looked fun as hell. He should have shook the man hand afterwards. Thank you. Oh, shit. Oh, man. Tyler said he turned him into a sunset.
That's exactly what it looked like. Oh, shit, bro. Perfectly shining
on. If somebody took a picture, it'd be a fold-out picture, bro, on a fucking magazine, nigga. You need full fold-out. Four pages to show the whole fucking image, nigga. That nigga was sideways, dog.
He's the Sports Illustrated centerfold of Rodman laying out for the Superman rebound, but he was just with a hand on his waistband. Like, look,
yes.
he was carrying that man. Schroeder was kicking his feet all with glee. Oh, shit. They need to fire that nigga up in the locker room. I do know that.
That's so hard. I guarantee you, Kyle,
I guarantee you, Kuz went at least as long as we did on that shit.
I know he was eating in there, dog. Schroeder had, he probably wanted to fight after that game. Woo.
You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel is the exclusive home for Over Under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/OverUnder and sign up now if you haven't done so already. Just create a new FanDuel account. If you don't already have one, it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at fanduel.com/overunder. They could be worth up to $5,000. Age and local restrictions apply. See fanduel.com for terms and conditions. All right. North Carolina has hired its next basketball coach as we go from the frying pan into the fire here with Hubert Davis.
Hubert doing some Hubert ass shit. Oh,
boy, we about to light Hubert ass up, too.
Of course, Hubert
said, you done fucked up. Davis. We in our groove right now. We about to light your ass up.
That motherfucker Hubert. We were all tapped in for the point, too. And I'm happy. Hubert. My wife is white.
What? Yeah. All right, hold on. Okay, okay. So Hubert Davis is hired, is asked about the significance of being the first black coach at North Carolina. We talked on the last show. Tyler is a lifelong North Carolina fan. We talked about that being because his dad grew up watching North Carolina with the first black player in the ACC on the floor. So he talked, I thought, really poetically about the significance of that, that I think he said he's just the fourth black head coach in any sport in the history of the university. Yep,
right.
The first basketball coach.
Yep. Yep.
And the floor is yours.
And yeah, and then shit took a nosedive. Yeah.
Where do you start, Tyler? Where do you start?
There's so much to unpack here. I feel like, you know.
And we can't go in like we want to.
Hey, we might have to because this shit was ridiculous. But on a serious note, it just felt like you didn't need to. There's nothing wrong with being proud of your wife, of the family you've created. But it felt like he juxtapositioned that after all the talk about how proud he was to be an African-American coach. And, you know, the fourth black coach at UNC, the first black coach at UNC basketball. And then he wanted to remind us that, you know, he had a white wife and a multiracial family. And it felt like, I think there's something you need to ask yourself. If after professing how proud you are to be black, if you point to how close you are to white people to kind of reassure people or whatever, that you're not threatening or whatever, you know, that's what I got from it. You know what I mean? If it just felt like if that was a big but, like I'm black, but I love white people. Bro, you don't need to qualify you being black with that. You know what I mean?
I'm black, but I'm not a nigga.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm black, I mean, but I'm not that black,
it's
right?
Like you talking about, I'm so happy to be, you know what I'm saying, an African American, to be black. First of all, African American. When have you ever called yourself African American?
I have never called myself that. And people think that people who call themselves that are trying to distance themselves from their African lineage. That's not the case at all. Very proud of my African lineage. No. You know what I mean? But I know that when I hear people say African American, they are usually trying to fucking pacify white people because black sounds too threatening in their mind. So I have always identified as black. And usually when I hear heavy African American talk, my fucking fuck shit radar goes off.
Fuck shit antennas us be like, right, bro.
We should have known it was coming with him. I'm happy to be African American, but you know what I mean. Like he was saying he's happy to be black, and then distance himself from black people. You know what I mean? Like it didn't make I don't know in what world. Like how did that make sense? How did that make sense at all to be like, but you know what I mean? I'm happy that my wife is white, unless he was doing what you were saying, Tyler, unless he was trying to appease people that might, you know what I'm saying, not be comfortable with him being the first black coach in North Carolina. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Like I have been playing the game of how could he have rephrased this to not, you know, sound like a, you know, sound like the fucking buffoon that he sounded like. Right. And there's nothing I can come up with. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your wife or being proud of the family mate, but there's no need to. Yeah, but there's no need to, I'm black, but, and then put that as the qualifier, you know, in juxtaposition to you being black.
There's a big difference between talking about bringing your family into a program when you get hired as a head coach, which happens at every college press conference where a coach gets hired, and speaking the words, but I'm also proud of my white wife.
It's like, you know, it felt like he just turned it into a trophy in that moment. You know what I mean? Like it's as a fucking merit of achievement or some shit. You know what I mean? Is that the vibe y'all got from it? Like he could have said so many other things.
That's what
right?
it felt like. No, it was like.
Yeah, yeah, he could have said so many other things. Like I'm so proud of my
right,
wife.
Right. I'm African American, but I'm happy of my white wife yeah. too. You know, like
yeah, he could have said so many other things. Like, you know, I'm proud of you know, I'm black and I'm proud of my wife and the family that we've created. And then we could have probably had to hit Google and find out what exactly he was talking about. But he made sure to kind of distance himself from the blackness with the white wife part. You know what I mean?
When I heard it, I flat out like
all it was just like, weird all around.
Oh, just weird. Yeah. It was gross. And I was just like I audibly said, yuck, like in a room by myself, like, yuck. Like, why would you, what is this? What is the purpose of this? You know, like,
where are we going? This?
Yeah. Where are we going? Why? You know, unnecessary.
Well, congrats to Hubert Cubert.
Doing some Hubert ass shit. For sure, Ski. Congrats on his job and his white wife. Congratulations, my guy. I guess. Shit.
We wanted to talk about DMX. You know, for a couple of days now, has been fighting. You know, in the hospital. Sounds like we're not going to speculate, but you know, had sounded like was reported. I think that you know he'd had an OD, and is on life support right now, and. Tyler, you sent us last night a tweet thread that I'll post on the Jenkins and Jones Twitter account below this episode. Cause I really thought it was like, honestly, one of the most beautiful things I've ever read on Twitter about this just random person who I've never heard of before. You'll never hear ever again. Her life just sort of crossing paths with DMX on an airplane and the relationship that came out of that. And I don't know. I just Twitter's not great for most things at this point, but it is a special place for those kinds of stories that you're not, that woman would never have been interviewed by the news. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe it's the last redeeming thing about Twitter. You get these sort of public shared moments like that, but it was definitely really special.
Yeah, it was beautiful, man. Like, you know, I sent y'all that shit in the group chat, and I don't want to spoil it for the people who haven't read it because it's a really special fucking ride. But going to DMX, man, it's just, you know, it's this shit breaks my heart, bro, because it's like DMX, you know, sometimes, you know, shit like this happens and you hear the whole, you never know what people are dealing with. We knew with DMX, you know what I mean? Like DMX is someone who came to us soul bared wide open from his very introduction, you know, back in the fucking late 90s, right? And it's just someone who I think, you know, if you were there for DMX's, you know, ascension from when he dropped in fucking 98 and all that and just followed his career, like he's a rapper you always rooted for on like a personal level because he was so personal in his music, you know what I mean? And this shit just, I don't know, man, it fucks me up. I'm praying for the best though, you know what I mean? And you know, I'll pass it off now.
You said it in the group chat. You know, I mean, he's had one of the greatest rap careers in history, and you still feel like the dude got a raw deal. You still feel like he got a raw deal, though, just because of the way he grew up and the amount of pain that he had in his life. And I've always been rooting for him. I mean, I obviously loved him as a rapper, but I always root for anyone who's struggling with addiction. Yeah. And we've had, you know, plenty of people in my family who've not fought that and not been able to overcome it. But it's an evil part of the world that people are going to profit from that sickness. You know what I mean? And find a way to make money off of people who are in pain. I think this stuff happened with DMX just a week or two after Ryan Leaf, who I could not possibly give less of a fuck about as an athlete. Mm-hmm. But he posted something about, you know, he very publicly bottomed out and has, you know, was saying he's now 9 years sober and on the road to recovery. And that was as heartening to me as the tweet thread we were mentioning about DMX, because it's not easy. You know, I mean, it's just, and you could be 9 years sober and still fuck your life up. And I think that's part of what's been so painful to me following DMX's story is, he's had that classic cycle of pulling himself out of it and looking like things are going to get better. And it's just hard, man. I mean, it's hard whether you're a rapper, you're an athlete, you're just a human being. It's hard.
When listen to his music, you really, like you said, he's very relatable. You know what I mean? You hear the mental struggles, you hear the struggles, you know, he like you said, he laid himself bare on his albums. And it's just wild to see those same things he struggles with, you know, put him in this situation. You know what I mean? And like I was talking about how like he was, you know, he's so blessed. Like, it's kind of like Tina Turner, where, you know what I mean? Where she said that, you know, the good did not outweigh the bad. You know what I mean? And that was like, wow, to think about Tina Turner, somebody that's experienced so much greatness in her life and so much success, mm-hmm. still talked about how difficult her life is. And it's just, you know, he struggled so much. I had so much blessings, and it just doesn't seem like somebody that blessed should struggle so much as well. And it just, it's been hard to watch in these last few years, you know, like the back and forth. But yeah, it's just sad. Like, yeah, it's just a sad situation.
And look, we hear from people all the time who are in college who listen to this show. Mm-hmm. And the thing I just speak directly to you, if you're a younger person listening to this, chase whatever you're trying to chase professionally, but don't equate that with fulfillment or happiness. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. There is no world where you're going to succeed as an actor. You're going to succeed as a rapper or a writer or whatever. And it fixes all the other shit. No. It doesn't happen like that. If it didn't happen for DMX and Tina Turner, it's not going to happen that way for you. So chase your own peace of mind too.
I just like, I want to erase the idea of a dream job. Like, I'm not dreaming to be working. You know what I mean? Like, there's good and bad with all of this shit. You know what I'm saying? So like, and as somebody that has a job that I really love, there's a lot of challenges I still have to deal with. You know what I mean? So yeah, like if I would approach things differently, you know, I could have been just as happy as I am now. You know what I mean? Capitalism makes you think that type of shit, that I need these things. And like, no, man, like it's, the things that'll make you happy are you'll not find at work. It's just not what's going to, you know what I mean? It's just not what's going to happen. But like you said, if Tina Turner and DMS couldn't find it, you know, but yeah, it's just, my dream job is to do nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing is my dream. That is my dream. You know what I mean? That is my dream job, is not to have a fucking job. Right. Wake up every day and I decide how my day goes every single day. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, you're not going to find, you know, the answer to all your problems in what you do in your career, you know, in labor. You know what I'm saying? It's just not going to happen.
All right. Time to move on to something fun, which in my opinion is the most fun thing on TV right now. Tyler, I know we're both huge fans of Invincible, which is on, I think it's on Prime, right?
Yes,
I completely lose track of where
Amazon.
I just lose track, man. Like, I don't know. I, for whatever reason, it was always easy for me to remember channels as a kid, but I turned into a 75-year-old man while we're streaming some shit. Like, is this one on Disney? Is this one on Netflix?
Yeah. Hey, we got to shout out Prime, because I remember Prime was whack as fuck, and I would be like, yo, Amazon Prime has a video service. Why am I never watching anything on this? You know what I'm saying? And now, like they're making strides here. So shouts to Amazon, you know, the worst fucking corporation in the world, for stepping y'all shit up on some home.
Doing something with all that damn money they got. You feel me?
Right.
Yeah. 100%. So thank you to you for bringing this to my attention, because I totally missed it. John, have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched a fucking second of that shit, bro.
Okay, all right. Well,
I feel like we shouldn't even spoil the first. We shouldn't even spoil the first.
Yeah, we won't even talk about that. The plot.
What's it about? Yeah, what's it about?
It's about a teenage high school kid who's the son of a superhero who's growing into his superhero-ness. But like I said, that's like the subplot, because the real plot is revealed episode one, and I can't spoil that shit for you because it's such a oh shit fucking moment. Yeah, you know. Yeah. So,
I mean, y'all can spoil it. I don't mind shit getting spoiled.
No.
We don't want to spoil it for the listeners either, though. So,
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly. Okay. And I don't even, to be honest with you, I'm glad no one spoiled it for me. I've actually read, I think the first, like, we have the first 100 issues of the comic, and I've read them. It's one of my favorite comics ever. But the order that things happen in the show is very different than the order things happen in the book. So I was completely caught off guard by the first episode as well. And what I would say about the show and the comic, John, is it's just a much more, you know, like, you read or you see the origins of Spider-Man. He gets his superpowers. He's 15. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's still bullies. And he's like, I can't let the bullies know I'm Spider-Man, or something might happen to Aunt May. Mm-hmm. And even as a kid, you're like, nah,
the brakes off,
I don't think so.
It's not going to beat the fuck out some people, right?
Yeah.
Right. So Invincible, the show and the cartoon, it's a much more realistic look at how you would respond to getting superpowers at 15 years old. Okay. You know
that
what
sounds
I mean?
Very interesting. I'll definitely type in. So,
but it's a lot of fun. It's definitely different from anything else that's out there. And it's like big, bright, colorful, fun superhero shit.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Amazon did great with, was it Brother? Is that what it's called? Brothers or
the boys?
The boys. There we go. Yeah,
that's, I know you guys.
Oh yeah, the boys was great. Phenomenal, dog.
That
I love
shit was
that
great.
Shit.
You know what I mean? That's one of my. I liked. That's the oddest superhero shit I've ever seen, and I loved it. So yeah, I'm down. I'm down to check it out, guys. I'll give it a whirl. You know what I mean?
Dropping new episodes every Friday on Amazon Prime.
For sure, I'm down.
Okay, we've got to talk about our own. Tyler Perrier made the list with Mashable on the top Twitter accounts on NBA Twitter to follow. So congrats, bro. We're proud of you.
Very proud of you. And that's a difficult list to make. So, I mean, obviously you should have made it, but like, that's a difficult list to make. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't like, there was no fat on that list. You know what I mean? And you right America is musty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They put me front page with America is Musty, and the tweet they referenced was a fucking deep cut Osama bin Laden, Terry Rozier reference, right? Like, I'm like, what the fuck is Twitter even anymore, dog? But yeah, that was cool, man. You know, I appreciate, you know, like I said, I'm someone who enjoys my haters, and I'm sure that there's some people like, oh, why is he on this fucking list? I love that there are some motherfuckers who are out there mad and who are sick to their stomach about it. I also appreciate the
man.
Love.
No one's mad. Everyone's happy for you, bro. Everybody.
Oh,
loves
no,
you,
not what? No, Mike. Everyone does not. Like, I got so many. Why is this guy on here in tweets? But I, like I said, I love the hate. The hate is fun. I enjoy that shit because I don't give a fuck about you. And deep down, you don't really give a fuck about me either. You know what I mean? So let's just have fun with this shit.
But yeah, they definitely give more of a fuck about you than you give a fuck about them.
Then I give that a fuck a about them.
And you aren't just on the list, nigga. You are on the fucking you are mellow on the fuck.
You know what I mean? I'm the bold face LaMelo on that.
You're the bold face motherfucker.
You're the troll graphic. Right. You're like, the troll graphic. And, you know, that's the best.
America's Musty in bright fucking letters. Dragonfly Jones. Neon letters. You know what I mean? Hey, you wasn't just on the list, you know what I mean? You were the list, Tyler. You know what I mean?
Right. But, yeah, I love it. That's gonna be our new compliment when Tyler's killing. This would be like, you're looking real Mashable right now, bro. You're looking very Mashable right now.
That's our Mashable man right there. Look at him go.
Oh shit. Okay, we're introducing it's sort of a new segment. We are, by popular demand, thank you to those of you who are tweeting at us to actually do this. We brought up, when we were talking about Jim Boeheim's booger excavating and eating habits, the idea of doing a booger boy of the week. I don't know, we may not find a sponsor for it. It is out there, you know, Mucinex, Kleenex, whoever the fuck.
I'll let us Mucinex, Claritin, you know, all that allergy shit. All that booger eatery allergy shit, we ready for you. You feel me?
So every week, we're certainly happy to take nominations. If we disagree, we'll throw it out there for a poll. But I think for week one, we're all on the same page that Draymond Green is the inaugural Jenkins and Jones Booger Boy of the Week. Draymond put his foot in his mouth and I guess in his nose as well in talking about WNBA players not getting paid enough because they weren't organizing their narrative and a bunch of other stuff. Megan Rapinoe called him out and said he made himself look like an ass. And The Onion had one of the all-time Onion fatalities with the headline that said, Draymond Green, colon, if WNBA players want to get paid, they should just hitch themselves to a once-in-a-lifetime shooter.
What's crazy is he got three of them motherfuckers. He got three of them once-in-a-lifetime shooters, too. That was swinging, swinging off them, you feel me? But, hey, Booger Boy of the Week.
I feel like The Onion... I feel like The Onion is like that one quiet kid in the class who will just light your ass up after everyone has finished lighting your ass up and there's like a moment of silence, right? Like that's who The Onion is. And they just came up the top rope with the elbow drop of that motherfucker. So shouts to The Onion, man.
I think they're the kid that doesn't even laugh.
Perfect.
They just say it and that's the only thing they've said. Yeah. It's a banger. And then they go back to not giving a fuck about nothing that's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
That's a perfect analogy. That's exactly what they did. And I would add, by the way, we're all looking forward to Draymond's analyst career in the future.
No doubt,
Draymond. It's just you know
he took a left turn. You got to get back on.
If the show goes indefinitely, eventually everyone in the universe will be the Booger Boy of the Week. Mm-hmm. So it was his turn first, and you know, congrats to him.
The inaugural Booger Boy. Congrats, Draymond. Or not congrats.
No booger like your first booger.
We really got a booger no boy booger on like here, dog. We out here we out here picking booger boys, dog. Grown men. I love being an adult.
It's great. Absolutely terrific. Okay, we're going to close. We haven't done a Blow Your Mind segment in a couple weeks, which I guess means that Tyler's history tidbits will be up soon. For the Blow Your Mind, I'm going to read a brief passage, another one from The Ends of the World, book I referenced earlier about a history of mass extinctions. There have been 5 mass extinctions on planet Earth. We may or may not be living through the 6th one right now as you're listening to this podcast.
Stay tuned.
Don't
be playing about that shit.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether I take it seriously or not. It's either happening or it's not.
Positive energy, guys. Come on.
A fucking extinction level event away. If we in that motherfucker, we in that motherfucker, dog.
We can try, though, Tyler. We can try.
Let me tell you that we cannot. At one of the mass extinctions, the whole planet was covered in 2.5 miles of lava deep.
God damn.
2.5 miles deep of lava.
Continue with this. I'm really interested in this.
Okay, so Peter Brannon is the dude who wrote this book, and the way I heard about it and picked it up was he wrote so poetically about the asteroid that hit the Yucatan Peninsula and killed all the dinosaurs that I said, I got to find out what the fuck this dude is about with the rest of this book. So here is his description of that asteroid hitting the planet Earth. The meteorite, this is a scientist that he's interviewing saying this. The meteorite itself was so massive that it didn't notice any atmosphere whatsoever. It was traveling 20 to 40 kilometers per second, 10 kilometers to 14 kilometers wide, pushing the atmosphere and building such incredible pressure that the ocean in front of it just went away. And then he says, these numbers are precise without usefully conveying
Say it again. About the ocean.
Building such incredible pressure that the ocean in front of it just went away. Mm-hmm. And okay, listen to this. These numbers are precise without usefully conveying the scale of the calamity. What they mean is that a rock larger than Mount Everest hit planet Earth traveling 20 times faster than a bullet. That's so fast that it would have traversed the distance from the cruising altitude of a 747 to the ground in 0.3 seconds. The asteroid itself was so large that even at the moment of impact, the top of it might still have towered more than a mile above the cruising altitude of a 747. In its nearly instantaneous descent, it compressed the air below it so violently that it briefly became several times hotter than the surface of the sun. And then the scientist says the pressure of the atmosphere in front of the asteroid started excavating the crater before it even got there. Then when the meteorite touched ground zero, it was totally intact. It was so massive that the atmosphere didn't even make a scratch on it. Unlike the typical Hollywood CGI depictions of asteroid impacts, where an extraterrestrial charcoal briquette gently smolders across the sky, in the Yucatan, it would have been a pleasant day 1 second, and the world was already over by the next. As the asteroid collided with the Earth in the sky above where there should have been air, the rock had punched a hole of outer space vacuum in the atmosphere, and as the heavens rushed in to close this hole, enormous volumes of Earth were expelled into orbit and beyond, all within a second of impact. So the writer says, so there's probably little bits of dinosaur bone up on the moon? And the scientist said, yeah, probably.
What the fuck? Them lizards ain't stand a motherfucking chance. God damn.
How the fuck did Earth exist after that? I feel like that shit would just like Earth.
And our ancestors survived it. Our ancestor, it literally punched into the core of the Earth like Godzilla.
Bro, like, but how is Earth like? What happened to make Earth habitable at any point after
that?
What
that happened to make way for us. We are just,
I know it made way for us, but what was the process? Like, how does it go from miles deep in lava to like now
that didn't cause the lava? That didn't cause the lava. So, what happened there that caused eruptions because it hit literally the mantle of the Earth? So, it caused volcanic eruptions between and literally they modeled out what the earthquakes from this would have been like. The whole Earth would have had an earthquake of like a, you know, 6 to 7 point magnitude, like the whole planet, the other side of the planet would have felt it, which is like impossible to try and wrap your head around something. But yeah, Tyler's exactly right. If it hadn't hit the Earth, the Tyrannosaurus Rex would still be here. Like the Tyrannosaurus Rex. I get that,
but how does it go from where it, what happened to now? Like, I need to.
Little tiny grubby mammals.
Yeah. It ushered in us, right? It ushered in us the ice age of hairy, furry mammals, and we are descended from hairy, furry fucking primates, right? Our fucking ancestors 300,000 years ago were hairy as fuck. We have just, you know, evolved to not be that.
But yeah. It's crazy that it went from like 2 miles deep of lava to an ice age. Like, you know what I mean? To, you know, mammals existing in an ice age. It's just, man, this world been through some shit. I want to sit down and talk to Earth. Me and Earth.
I highly recommend this book. The mass extinctions the planet has gone through previously will put a pretty good context of why we should probably stop throwing as much carbon up into the atmosphere as we are like humanly possible to do, because that is literally what caused the ice age. It was like it overheated, and then the Earth is effectively an organism. It so responded. What does your body do when you overheat? It cools itself off. Anyway, that is our apocalyptic end to a very Jenkins and Jones episode of the pod was potting today.
Oh, man, we had some weird shit.
Oh, we were potting like a motherfucker. Goddamn.
Hey, that Schroeder shit. Thanks, Schroeder, for riding that ride and letting us enjoy the experience visually.
Top notch and audio content right there.
That's a fucking all timer. Okay. Thank you so much to everyone who's been listening. Remember to rate this show and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, The Volume is on YouTube now. We'll be uploading new episodes and clips daily, including some past interviews and moments from all our shows. Go subscribe to our new YouTube channel at youtube.com/thevolume or youtube.com/thevolume, depending on how you choose to pronounce that word. But thanks for fucking with us. Leave us 5 stars. Make sure you tell your friends. And we will see you guys next episode on Monday. Later.
Peace.
Bye.
Peace. Bye.